The following is a summary of the ongoing operations on Earth of the Alliance's Project Terra. It is by no means thorough, and much data and information remains classified. Its function is to provide a basic understanding of the project for those people who are approved by the directors of Project Terra. In the text, Project Terra will be referred to as PT when appropriate. KLR, June 18, 2008. Note. The raw data was provided to me by the Grandians. The format for presenting it was left to me to decide. Aside from the message quotes on page 4, italicized text represents notes added by me. BR, June 22, 2008. Foreword. A brief history of Project Terra. The first mention of PT was in the report of August 25, 1964. This is a copy of the relevant text. This meeting is the first of a series, to be held at regular intervals, for the purpose of discussing the progress of our newly instituted Project Terra. As you all know, up to now, we have concentrated our efforts on completing our underground facilities, rather than on actual work with the Earth people, such that we have not been able to devote our full energies to them. Now that our bases are all in operation, we can begin with the business at hand. This conference will establish a format for Phase 1 of Project Terra, namely the organization of all the separate divisions in a comprehensive way, and to provide everyone involved with some idea of what is in store. This conference is being telescreened to all key personnel in the various spaces around the world, and they will be able to join us via the telescreen network. Briefly, let me state our purpose in Project Terra. It is of a threefold nature. 1. Scientific and sociological research, 2. Education of the Terrans in the universal laws, 3. Prevention of worldwide warfare, which will invariably be nuclear. I'll now turn the floor over to the Venerable Akrim Vesta, the Terra Project Coordinator. The Elder Master commenced. Thank you. During the past 3 months, our bases have processed, educated, and turned out into Terran society literally thousands of operatives, into every endeavor that is of importance to Terran life and culture. These men and women are part of a multi-point program, the first four of which I will list at this time. Point 1, infiltration of all Earth governments and agencies connected with the governments, including military operations. Point 2, infiltration of the various public professions, such as religion, entertainment, commerce, industry, education, finance, advertising, etc. These operatives are presently dormant, sleepers, as the Terrans might call them, and merely on standby. Point 3, strategic placement in the various communities of operatives who will work quietly to bring about increased interest in the movement. Point 4, placement of operatives in scientific circles to instill the same type of increased interest. The full details are available in the aforementioned report. The actual initiation date for PT was August 10, 1964. Other meetings occurred prior to the one cited above, but it was the first all-hands meeting. Bob Reno was invited to attend at the request of Elder Master Kalen Lee Reeton. Inasmuch as he was and is our sole open contact with your people, and he had by then clearly demonstrated his trustworthiness, the Master deemed it advisable to include him in many of our meetings and conferences re-PT. We point out that the information re-PT in the cited report is largely inapplicable at this time. The meeting occurred before we discovered the Almegan presence on Earth. That discovery required us to discard almost all of our objectives and to formulate an entirely new program for PT. The information to follow is based on the PT of today. No further data will be provided on previous ups and downs. There have been successes and setbacks, including one false start in 1976 where the Alliance was deceived into believing that we had successfully rooted the Almegan presence on Earth and elsewhere. It resulted in the decommissioning of most of our Terran and lunar bases and personnel reassignments. We recommitted to Earth in 1984 after discovering that our success 8 years earlier had been an illusion. Project Terra was resumed at that time and again changed to account for the latest developments. No further information on that will be provided, since it is primarily of historical value. PT is now operated with great flexibility and its focus is on rapid response to a situation in constant flux. Therefore, any information on specific operations or policies could be rendered inaccurate or meaningless in a matter of hours. This report will be confined to broad policies and activities that are not subject to on-the-fly changes to address new issues or findings. Section 1. Earth Base Locations and Personnel. Massachusetts Complex. The underground facility located in Massachusetts is one of two original facilities on Earth. The other is the California Complex. Like all PT bases, the Massachusetts Complex is an Ender Alliance military control. MASCOM, its official designation, is under the region known as the Berkshires. Exact coordinates will of course not be revealed. There were several strategic reasons for locating it there, which are beyond the scope of this report. It had nothing to do with Bob Renault's residence there. The base had been constructed in its present location for over 2 years before we became aware of Bob's interest in flying saucers and alien presence on Earth. MASCOM has undergone two substantial reworkings since it went operational in early 1959. The first was after the 1984 recommitment. It involved considerable reconfiguration for optimum efficiency, including closing areas and opening new ones. The second was a major upgrade of equipment in 1998, but did not entail significant physical alterations. MASCOM is the central command for PT on Earth. To appreciate its size, its floor area is 278.6 million square feet, just shy of 10 square miles, on six levels that go down almost 800 feet. The highest point of the base is 285 feet below the surface. Some small craft entrances are at surface level. BR Note, see December 28, 1963 report, with tunnels to the main facility. Shielding makes it impossible for existing Earth's technology to detect MASCOM, although most of it is located beneath the mountains. MASCOM base statistics. Size 278.6 million square feet. Volume 4.179 billion cubic feet. Average ceiling height 15 feet. Access, 12, small craft entry points. 1, large craft, 100 maximum. Entry port. 74, teleportals. 69, personnel. 5, cargo, bulk. Power, 2 to 385 megawatt ME generators, 1 as backup. 120 megawatt gravitic generators, 6 units minus 20 megawatts each. For critical and emergency loads. Air and water. Self-contained air purification and conditioning systems, water from natural underground sources, with storage. Communication, subspace TR, 8,630 channels, all encryptable. Laser, 710 channels, encrypted by default. Implant links, 42,600W, repeaters, worldwide. Data links. 117,600 channels, all encrypted by default. Internet connections. 1,820, broadband via dedicated servers. 150, dial-up connections via dedicated server. Accessible only via double password login. MASCOM base personnel. Number, 755, permanently assigned. 312, rotating personnel or temps. 7,880, field operatives in eastern half of U.S. 31,230, foreign field operatives covering all continents. Officers. E6 Arkan Madril, base commander. E5 Dornitren, base coordinator. Base function, central control for all Earth-based operations, reports to Plato Complex. MASCOM is the primary liaison between the Alliance and the field operatives. It also coordinates all of the Terran bases and is the communication link between them and PlatoCom. It can operate autonomously in the event of major problems in the Plato Complex. It includes numerous scientific, cultural and sociological research units for study of Earth and its people. California Complex. Like MASCOM, CalCom is one of the original Alliance facilities. It is located off the coast of California, about halfway up the coastline and about 30 miles from the shoreline. As with MASCOM, exact coordinates will not be provided. CALCOM is the primary control center for the field ops in the western half of the U.S. plus Alaska and Hawaii. Its major function is as the computer center for Project Terra. Its secondary function is as a focal point for operations involving the Omegans and other hostile forces involved on Earth. This function includes full monitoring of hostile communications and activities, decryption of codes used by hostiles, disinformation to be leaked to the hostiles, etc. It is in effect the Alliance's version of your CIA/NSA. CALCOM also contains extensive scientific and military facilities, the nature of which cannot be described at present. Being located under the seabed of the Pacific poses hazards and complications that are not encountered by any other bases. Access is the primary issue, since any craft other than small scouts and personal vehicles are forced to enter and leave through several thousand feet of ocean water. This is accomplished by a force field that punches a temporary tunnel in the water while the craft arrives or departs. Since it uses a prodigious amount of power, and poses the risk of discovery, it is used only when absolutely necessary. As such, CALCOM is not considered a spacecraft-friendly facility, and very few crafts of 20 feet or more in breadth are stationed there. The four small craft, less than 25, entry points, none located near populated areas, all involve substantial transit times in the necessarily long tunnels. The shortest tunnel is 53 miles. The portal network is thus highly advanced. It is the primary means of access to CALCOM. However, a new craft design being studied for CALCOM and similar bases around the Alliance will allow entry and exit directly through the water, and will enable extended subsurface travel in the manner of submarines. The main portal can then be adapted to function as an airlock in addition to its normal tunnel mode. It is expected that this will be approved within a year, and the necessary construction will be completed by the autumn of 2010. CALCOM base statistics. Size 322.9 million square feet. Volume 4.8435 billion cubic feet. Average ceiling height 15 feet. Access, 4 small craft entry points on the California coast. 1. Large craft. 200 maximum, entry port, using a force shield to generate a momentary tunnel through the water. 108, teleportals. 102, personnel. 6, cargo, bulk. Power, 3 to 350 megawatt ME generators, one as backup. 160 megawatt gravitic generators, 8 units minus 20 megawatts each. Or critical and emergency loads. Air and water, self-contained air purification and conditioning systems, water desalinated from sea, with storage. Communication, subspace TR, 3112 channels, all encryptable, laser, 10 channels, encrypted by default, or emergency. Use only, since it involves creating holes in the water. Implant links. 5,834, for field ops and base use. Data links, 480,000 channels, all encrypted by default. Internet connections, 2,250, broadband via dedicated servers. 200, dial-up connections via dedicated server. Accessible only via double password login. CALCOM base personnel. Number, 815. Permanently assigned. 220, rotating personnel or temps. 6,790, field operatives in western half of U.S. 31,230, foreign field operatives covering all continents. Officers. E6 Vedras Loren, base commander. E5 DeMarco Ertel, base coordinator. Base function, Project Terra computer operations. Omegan information gathering and compilation, plus intelligence, counterintelligence and espionage. The base contains many classified scientific and military operations. There are four other subterranean facilities located around your world. Three are spacecraft bases containing several hundred heavily armed military crafts of various sizes for defensive, and if need be, offensive, deployment. One is located in the Andes in a remote area of Peru. The second is in a sparsely inhabited area in mainland China. The third is in Egypt. The fourth base is an automated scientific facility in the outback of Australia. It has only a maintenance and scientific crew, usually no more than 25 in all. Section 2. Lunar base locations and personnel. The two major lunar bases are located beneath the surface under the crater's Plato, located slightly right of center near the top, and Copernicus, located left of center near the bottom. Note, pointers added 20,090,209. A third base under the crater Archimedes, directly below Plato on the map, was a scientific facility. It is mentioned in Bob's report of his first lunar visit of 3 December 4, 1966. It has since been mothballed, but it can be reopened if a need arises for it. At present it is used as a way station in the transportation tubes between Plato and Copernicus. Note, map and photos provided by B.R. Plato Complex. PlatoCom is one of three operating lunar facilities. It is the largest and most populated base in this system. It is located beneath the surface of the crater that you call Plato, the large one shown in this graphic. PlatoCom is the main base for Project Terra. All spacecrafts from the Alliance stop there when they arrive in this system. All communication between PT and the rest of the Alliance is fed through PlatoCom. It is the training facility for new and returning operatives, and it is the main spacecraft berthing and storage facility for PT. It contains upward of 5,000 crafts from small scouts to the three hyperclass carriers that are stationed there. PlatoCom base statistics. Size 847 million square feet. Volume 12.65 billion cubic feet including craft hangars. Access. 14, small craft entry points. 3, large craft entry ports, including one of 1.96 miles in diameter for the three hyperclass carriers. 522, teleportals. 495, personnel. 25, cargo, bulk. 2, scouts craft transporters. Power, 10 to 500 megawatt ME generators. 800 megawatt gravitic generators, 10 units minus 80 megawatts each. For critical and emergency loads. Air and water, self-contained air purification and conditioning systems. Water, 500 million gallon storage with purification and recycling communication. Subspace TR, 16,300 channels, all encryptable. Laser, 1,480 channels, encrypted by default. Implant links, 14,900. Data links, 2,254,000 channels, all encrypted by default. PlatoCom base personnel. Number, 9,150, permanently assigned. 2,060, rotating personnel or temps. Officers. E6 Ala or Kesla, base commander. E5 Terekloken, base controller. E5 Petersolan, base security controller. Base function. Main base for Project Terra and all Alliance operations in this system. Central arrival point for all Alliance crafts arriving in this system. Main spacecraft berthing, storage and maintenance. Central communication for all PT functions. Training for operatives. Copernicus Complex. This base is located under the crater known as Copernicus. The base is substantially smaller than the Plato Complex. It is primarily for military operations. It includes facilities for extreme range scanning and detection in both optical and radio bands, both real space and subspace. It has a large telescope array for both military and scientific purposes. There is also a hangar complex for crafts of less than 500 feet in maximum width and less than 1,000 feet in maximum dimension. For example, tubular carriers. The present craft contingent is 17-18, the majority being fighter crafts of 50 to 150 feet in diameter. There is a housing and training facility for military forces. Copercom based statistics. Size 328 million square feet. Volume 6.97 billion cubic feet including craft hangars. Access. 10. Small craft entry points. 3. Large craft entry ports, including one of 1.96 miles in diameter for the three hyper-class carriers. 285. Teleportals. 260. Personnel. 23. Cargo, bulk. 2. Scouts craft transporters. Power, 6 to 500 megawatt ME generators. 640 megawatt gravitic generators, 8 units minus 80 megawatt siege, or critical in emergency loads. Air and water, self-contained air purification and conditioning systems. Water, 220 million gallon storage with purification and recycling communication. Subspace TR, 8,700 channels, all encryptable. Laser, 610 channels, encrypted by default. Implant links, 8,550. Data links, 712,000 channels, all encrypted by default. Copercom base personnel. Number, 6,100, permanently assigned. 470, rotating personnel or temps. Officers. E6 Orin Marco, base commander. E5 Bertekatron, base controller. E5 Milan Trimmel, base security con. Base function, military operations, long-range scanning and detection systems, telescope complex, optical, X-ray, gamma ray, microwave, spacecraft hangars, facility for housing and training military personnel. There is a third unmanned communication facility on the backside of the moon, for direct communication to locations that are out of range of communication facilities on the Earth-facing side. It can sustain a small crew for routine maintenance, but is not designed for extended occupancy. Section 3. Activities and Policies. Overview. Project Terra's primary purpose has always been alliance involvement in Earth's scientific, cultural and ethical advancement. However, its direction and focus changed drastically following the discovery of the Omegan presence on Earth in the early 1970s. As our research into it continued, we learned that they had been here since the middle of the 18th century and therefore had a prodigious head start and had gathered a lot of momentum. The purpose of the Omegan presence was outlined in two messages posted by Bob to an online bulletin board. After we provided the information without saying too much. The posts are apparently no longer available online. The italicized text represents questions asked by a board member. Message date, January 28, 2005. Q. I don't know a lot so please forgive any ignorant questions I may ask, but I would to hear as much as I can. I was wondering if the intruders are what we call demons. What is to follow has been cleared. The intruders are not demons. The Alliance designates them as Omegans, which is a reasonably close translation of the Galinguin word, which can't be posted directly because of the lack of a Galinguin font. As for their nature, they are rebels from the Confederation. One commonality everywhere is that there are those who lust for power and control. Because of the Confederation's strict, inflexible policies of non-interference, there have been splinter groups within it who rebelled against its authority. The Confederation's policies worked against it in this case, because its non-interference directive and its hesitation to use military force allowed the rebels to act with little opposition and no interference. Over time, the rebels began to organize and unite their limited forces until they became a significant presence. However, they lacked an effective military force, and thus did not engage in active attacks on the Confederation. Rather, they spread out throughout this arm of the galaxy in search of non-aligned planets with a history of violence and militarism, coupled with fairly advanced scientific and technological capabilities. The intention is to shape and direct the civilization's advancement so as to create powerful fighting machines. They have been quite successful on several of the worlds where they infiltrated. Their methodology is always stealth and subterfuge. By infiltrating governments at the highest levels, they create friction and distrust that keeps the people in a constant state of tension and wariness. Simultaneously, they work within the SciTech circles to invent new and more efficient weapons and systems to enhance the world's military power and efficiency. When the time is right, the technologies for interstellar travel are introduced. The Omegans then stage an attack, allegedly from Confederation forces, on the premise that the world's military power and space travel capability are viewed as a threat to the Confederation. The attacks always results in major but non-critical damage and a significant loss of life. The Omegans then introduce themselves and enlist the world's aid in combating the Confederation attackers. The world, of course, is eager to unite its forces with theirs. Over the centuries, this tactic has created a formidable military force that has become fearless and aggressive. And it is easy to see the process going on here on our little blue marble. The difference in our case is that this is the first targeted world that is in a system under Confederation jurisdiction. The Omegans have become so bold that they are in effect thumbing their noses and daring the Confederation to do anything. Since Earth is the only inhabited planet, despite what has been claimed by others, this system is not a high priority consideration within the ruling bodies of the Confederation. They posture and protest, but they have offered only token resistance. Have they infiltrated our society so much that they can influence the wars around us so that we are killing ourselves instead of them having to do it? Their control is generalized. They don't direct specific wars or aspects of war, since their purpose is to create another efficient, highly trained and highly motivated war machine for their future purposes. However, they do manipulate international and internal conditions to maintain the atmosphere necessary to provoke war and enhance the preparations for it. We will never engage in all-out nuclear war. That's not in the program. They need us alive and eager to fight, ergo they won't let us exterminate ourselves and waste a couple of centuries of effort. Message date, January 29, 2005. It all makes very good sense. The worst part is, how do we fight this? To be blunt, we can't fight them directly. It would akin to children playing cops and robbers trying to take on a big city gang. They have the advantages of technology and indifference to life. We would lose. However, we can impede their efforts indirectly by working to create mindset changes in the people, by what used to be called passive resistance. In the meantime, alliance operatives have infiltrated the infiltrators, and are working behind the scenes to undermine and ultimately destroy their control. It's not a cold war. There are deaths on both sides. And if even Alliance agents are dying, we stand no chance. Resistance groups might work in Hollywood films and TV shows, but in the real world, fighting against an enemy that is vastly superior in power and unhindered by morality is suicidal. The way they were doing it, we won't know it till it happens. Exactly. That's the MO, however. Earth is the first world on which they have encountered opposition that is fully aware of their identity, and that is even more advanced than they are. It's their test case, if you will. As such, they are expending great effort to maintain and strengthen their hold, without revealing themselves in a way that would lead to massive resistance from humanity. That, unfortunately, would lead to Earth being sent back to the Stone Age, using our own weapons against us. It would be a last-ditch move, and an admission of defeat, since it would result in our usefulness to them being erased, and their 200-plus years of operations being rendered null and void. Ergo, they are restrained by their need for secrecy. This provides the Alliance with an edge, because they can push harder than would be the case if that consideration were not a factor. The Omegans are also constrained by the knowledge that should they decide on a direct confrontation with the Alliance here or anywhere, it would result in their being annihilated in the war out there on a scale that we cannot begin to imagine. The Alliance is by nature peace-loving and hesitant to engage in war, but unlike the Confederation, they have a formidable military force and the will to use it if becomes necessary. They have done so. I don't doubt a bit that our government isn't working with the intruders. That requires a qualification. All governments of international importance are working for the Omegans, but they are unaware of it. They are being controlled, but with no knowledge of the existence of the controllers. They truly believe in what they are doing because they were being manipulated with great sophistication. History has shown that a few persuasive individuals can incite whole nations to hatred and violence. One infamous example comes immediately to mind. Imagine how effective that can be when the insiders have been doing it for 1,000 years on many worlds. They have had a lot of practice. A long time ago, the Roman orator, Cicero, made an observation that is still 100% applicable in our day. A nation can survive its fools, and even the ambitious. But it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor, he speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments, he appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Marcus Tullius, Cicero, 42 BC. The Omegans did not exist in his era, but the principles that he cited are timeless. The enemy within is always more dangerous than the enemy outside the gates. We have become the most powerful nation in the world. We would have anyway. There have always been nations and empires that dominated others, from the Babylonians to the Romans to the Mongols to the British Empire to the Soviet Union. The US is at the moment the world superpower, but China is emerging as a strong force in world politics. This will become a significant factor in maintaining the state of tension that the Omegan operations require. The aware person can see the guiding hands in the arising of the Chinese to world prominence. We are taking over countries with lies saying we are there to save them. Just like what you're describing the intruders do when they take over. Again, they don't direct specific actions. They just maintain the state of affairs that leads to actions. It give me the chills to think about it. It is the Armageddon. This is the final battle and no one sees it coming. It's all according to the script. The difference is that we have a counterforce in operation here that is upsetting the timetable, so to speak. It is forcing the bad guys to invest far more time, resources and manpower than was necessary on other worlds. It's costing them dearly. And the Alliance is also in very high places around the world, working against the Omegan control. The problem is that the Omegans have been here since the 18th century, whereas the Alliance began their operations in earnest in the early 1970s.